Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Popping. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Back in better than ever, everybody. Welcome, my fellow prisoners, shut-ins, stay-at-home victims. Welcome, everybody, to a jam-packed Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com, on WWPR 1490 AM on the East Coast, and KCAA Radio on the West Coast, and on the TuneIn Radio app and on the R. Kelly Show YouTube channel. So thank everybody for checking me out. If it's Thursday, you know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's where truth triumphs over fiction. Shout out to Linda Lombroso. Am I saying that right, Lombroso? Shout out to Linda Lombroso. Thank you so much for your support. Hey, how are you? Okay, so wow, social distancing, you know. Touchless car deliveries, wearing masks. Personally, I'm still having problems with all this. Like many of you are probably having problems with this too. And I will never get used to this. So as the Trump liathon continues, and he continues to blame probably the greatest president ever, Barack Obama, who's been out of office for 3 years plus, you know, it's unimaginable that more than 80,000 Americans have lost their lives. 80,000 is just crazy, the thought that 80,000 people have lost their lives in the United States of America, and 36 million people are now unemployed as of the latest numbers that came out this morning. Another 3 million people applied for unemployment last week. And this is the biggest job loss since the Great Depression, not the recession of 2008-2009, but it's the greatest job loss ever in the history of America. Now, there's going to be some tough sledding in the weeks and months ahead, because a large percentage of those jobs won't be back, as many of those small businesses will close for good. And even some of the big chains like Neiman Marcus and J. Crew are filing for bankruptcy as well. So the beat goes on, and it seems like people, for the most part, are adjusting to what they call the new normal. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't accept this new normal. I will tell you like that. I don't accept the new normal at all. Shout out to Sandra Joy Jones, who's watching the program. I don't accept this new normal, as they call it all. I mean, I do follow the guidelines set by the health experts, et cetera, wearing masks, washing hands, use the hand sanitizer, for example, all of those things. But I don't like this whatsoever. This sucks. Absolutely. So, because we don't have to be around other people. And I don't mean 6 feet away. So when the pastor says, look at your neighbor and say X, Y, Z, you got to look and there's not going to be anybody sitting next to you. So you can't even look at your neighbor and say anything. So, I tried to watch wrestling last night because, you know, I was desperate for some sports, any sports, anything. And it was the weirdest thing with no fans in the arena. Now, the fans and the crowd noise is what live sporting events are all about. Even golf needs fans on the greens cheering on their favorite player. Now, I can't imagine a playoff game or even a Super Bowl without fans in the stands. It just doesn't work for me. And the players, I'm sure, would be affected as they feed off crowd noise, and which they now are saying they would pipe in. So they're going to have, dating is dead too. I'll get to that. And like I said, even golf needs fans on the greens cheering on their favorite player. And I can't imagine a playoff game or even a Super Bowl without fans in the stands. It just doesn't work for me. And as I said a few seconds ago, I'm sure the players will be affected as they feed off the crowd noise, which now they're saying they will pipe in. So they're going to have, they're going to have. Now, here's the thing. Now, Fox Sports Fox Sports are saying that they're going to have, when they start showing the football games, if we're still where we are right now, they're going to have, when you watch it on TV, it's going to look like there's fans in the stands. Just unbelievable. And now we're having virtual weddings, funerals, no school, no graduation. So those poor kids who worked for 4 years to graduate, with the pomp and circumstance that comes with it, have to watch cars drive by, to congratulate them. You know, drive-bys, I mean, I thought that only gangbangers did that. You know, human interaction is what we all were made for. People were not made to stay away from each other. This is unsustainable. Now, they have to find a cure for this thing. That's the only way that we're going to be able to control it. Now, some states are opening up. And in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court of that state rejected the governor, Governor Tony Evans' bid to extend the stay-at-home order. So I saw a video of the people in Wisconsin, and they're all at the bar. Not one person's wearing a mask. There's no social distancing going on. And I'll tell you, this social distancing, I mean, this is all these things are going to be very difficult for people to accept, because we've lived our whole lives interacting and being around other people. So for somebody to come along and say, hey, you can't be around anybody no more, is a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. Now, I'm not condoning what they do, but I do understand that people are just not able, may not even have the ability, so to speak, to be away from each other and staying inside their homes. So people are getting tired of staying home, and while their lives melt down around them. Stimulus checks are slowly being distributed, and the unemployment systems of most states are crashing, like here in New Jersey, because of the overwhelming amount of claims that are being filed at one time. And these systems are just not built to handle that kind of volume. So there's two choices here, either, and neither will have a good outcome. Either we reopen the country and let the chips fall where they may, or keep the country closed and suffer the worst economic disaster in the history of the United States of America. Some choices. Okay, so let me move on to the case of Ahmaud Arbery. You know, most of you know Ahmaud Arbery, know of the case of Ahmaud Arbery down in Georgia, who was chased down and killed by the racist father and son tag team. Now, the case of Ahmaud Arbery is living proof that the good old boy Jim Crow network is alive and well in many parts of the United States of America. So let me break it down for you. Now, on February 23rd of this year, Ahmaud Arbery was jogging through a mostly white neighborhood. And there's a lot of white folks who listen to this program, so you know I'm not down with the blamed white man nonsense unless you actually did something wrong. Now, shortly before he caught the attention of the racist vigilante tag team, father and son Gregory McMichael, who's a former law enforcement officer in that area, and his son Travis, he stopped in a house under construction and just looked around, because I saw the video. He stopped in a house, looked around, not taking anything, and he went on his merry way to finish his job. Now, the McMichaels didn't see him in the house, by the way, but they took it upon themselves to grab their guns and chase his brother down. Now, they didn't see him do anything. Nobody saw him do anything. He was just somebody who was just jogging. His only crime was that he was black. So Travis and Michael was the first of the two to confront Ahmaud, and he was shot and killed during that confrontation. Now, that's, you know, now there's more to this story. Now, first, the local police said, the local police, Gwinnett County Sheriff's Office, has said that the first DA, Jackie Johnson, told him not to arrest the McMichaels. Now, of course, Jackie Johnson denied the claims and then recused herself because she worked with Gregory McMichael when he was an investigator in her office, his 20-year career. Now, the second DA, George Barnhill, also recused himself because Barnhill's son once worked in the same office that Gregory McMichael worked in over his 20-year career as an investigator. Now, but before Barnhill left, he wrote a letter to the third DA, Tom Durden, who was appointed by Georgia Attorney General Christopher Carr and has no connection with anybody in the case. but he still asked to step down. So the letter he wrote to the third attorney general, to the third DA, basically exonerated to McMichaels. What he said was that they had they were innocent. He wrote a letter to the third DA saying that Mr. McMichael and his son were innocent. Now, let me tell you what it says in Georgia law, Georgia citizens arrest law. Now, what it says is a private person may arrest an offender if the offense is committed in his presence or within his immediate knowledge, which neither the McMichaels knew of anything that Ahmaud Arbery did. Now, the offense is a felony and the offender is escaping or attempting to escape, a private person may arrest him upon reasonable and probable grounds of suspicion. That's what Georgia citizens arrest law says. Now, so Tom Durden was the third DA, and he asked to be recused from, he asked to step down from the case, which he was allowed to step down by Georgia Attorney General Christopher Carr. Now, prosecutor number four is a black woman, Cobb County DA Joyette Holmes, who will now handle the case. Now, the Department of Justice has been asked to investigate and possibly bring federal hate crime charges, since Georgia has no hate crime statute in its criminal justice system. Fancy that. So where this lands is anybody's guess, and we will be watching this case very, very closely. And I'll, you know, and a little bit later on in the program, I will talk about Trump nonsense and, of course, the case of Breonna Taylor, who and several other crimes have been committed against black folks in the last. It's like it's been like a tsunami of killings of African Americans, either by vigilant racist white vigilantes or by the police. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of cases that I did come up on, you know, doing my research during the week. And I'll bring that up too as well. So welcome everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I need 8 more people to go on to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page and like 8 more people to like the page so we can reach that 5,000 person mark. So 8 people I need to go on Facebook Live. If you haven't done already, go on to the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. If you haven't already, if you have, thank you so much for doing so. But, yeah, I need 8 more people to go on and like or follow the Ron Kelly Show so we can reach that 5,000 follower mark. And I'd like to appreciate everybody. Thank you so much, everybody who has indulged me every Thursday night at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com and various other places on the east and west coasts of the fruited plain of the United States of America. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
All righty then, and we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Sandra Joy Jones, who was very upset with this, with the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Very, very upset. I think Sandra Joy Jones even called the Gwinnett County Sheriff's Department or some law enforcement agency in Georgia to complain about that, which probably fell on deaf ears. But we thank you, Sandra Joy Jones, for having the courage to and being as outraged as many of us are about the situation down in Georgia. You know, there was another issue. I'll talk about this a little bit later on. Another issue in Indianapolis, where a police officer, after a 21-year-old man was shot and killed by an officer. I'll get to that a little bit later on in the program. So yeah, so we got the coronavirus going on, you know, and a lot of us are, you know, and me, like I said, and some people are just off the chain with the coronavirus nonsense. I understand that, you know, people are afraid. You know, I get that. People are very afraid of you know, because you don't know when the coronavirus bug is going to jump up and bite you. You just don't know. And I understand that people are afraid of what's going on with this. And you know, and I am concerned as well. Maybe not afraid, but concerned. And like I said, I do follow the guidelines from CDC. And I do listen to the doctor who's being maligned right now, because he broke camp with President Trump, and now that's a big deal. Now you notice you don't see him anymore, Dr. Fauci. You don't see Dr. Fauci anymore, because Dr. Fauci is saying something different from what Donald Trump is saying. See, because Donald Trump knows that if the United States of America is in the situation it's in today, his presidency is over. And the people who are suffering the most are the people who voted for Donald Trump, the people who are not educated, or not formally educated, I should say. A lot of them didn't go to college. Most of the people who voted for Donald Trump are people who didn't go to college, who barely made it through high school. And those are the people who are not working at home. They have to go to work like, you know, some of the rest of us. So the people, it's ironic, the people who are suffering the most behind the Trump bungling of the coronavirus outbreak are the very people who voted for him. So Donald Trump is in deep doo-doo, and that's why he's trying so hard to get the country open back up again. He's even suggested that kids go back to school now, because Donald Trump knows that his presidency is in trouble, and he's definitely going to lose if there's if the country is in the same situation it's in now. In November. Now this is May, you know, halfway through May. So you got June, July, August, September, October. So the country is not going to be recovered in 5 months. You know, it's not. You know, no matter what Donald Trump does, the country is not going to recover in 5 months. So there's going to be, and things are probably going to get worse. Everybody else is saying it's going to get worse. Now they're talking about, some of the models are talking about over 100,000 people die, 100,000 people dying from the coronavirus. You know, and this whole thing is Trump's fault, because Trump was warned about the coronavirus months ago. And you can see from some of the sound bites and some of the video on Trump, oh, it's going to disappear, oh, it's going to go away. At his last love fest, I like to call him, because when he wants to get attention, he goes out and has a rally, which he really doesn't need to do because nobody's running against him. And he, in his last rally, he said that the coronavirus was a Democratic hoax. That's what he said. The coronavirus was a hoax. And so Donald Trump never hoped against hope, you know, never really believed that the coronavirus would come and pound the United States of America like nothing else. He never believed it. So when it finally did start happening, it was just too late. So now a lot of comparisons have been drawn between President Trump. Shout out to Kay doing her York. So a lot of comparisons have been drawn. I've seen a lot of video of President Obama, like when he went to Connecticut, when the kids were killed, and some of the other things that took place during his presidency, and how he showed compassion and love and concern, and how he hugged people. He even hugged somebody in the White House, a young girl who had contracted the drug, she contracted a disease, Ebola, and she was cured from the Ebola virus, and President Obama hugged her in the White House. You know, and President Obama, for what it's worth, he did show compassion when things did happen in the United States of America. And I watched today how they were drawing comparisons between Trump and Obama. And it was just so, it was frighteningly different. The compassion that President Obama showed for people who suffered in this country rather than Donald Trump, who really just looks at the people as numbers. You know, when he tries to, I guess they tell him, shout out to Tandra Joy Jones, yes, Obama was amazing. So the people are trying to tell, even when they suggest to the president that he should be more compassionate, it just comes off as being real fake, as Tandra Joy Jones just said. It's very, very fake, President Trump, when he tries to show compassion for people who have suffered under the coronavirus, people who have died and folks who are right now in the hospital. So it's just so fake. But you know, this thing with and I'll get to the other story, the closed casket, I'll get to that, which was outrageous. And I'll get to the young lady who was shot and killed, Breonna Taylor. I'll get to that in just a minute. But this thing with Trump is just, you know, it's just so outrageous. And see, yeah, I'm not surprised by anything that President Trump does. I'm not surprised at all, because he's just doesn't really care. And most of the people know that. So I think that even the people who supported Trump, the people who stood by him, besides the real hardliners, even those people are starting to say, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And Trump just does not show any compassion for anybody. So there was a couple of other killings. Young man was shot, 21 years old, was shot in Indianapolis. I saw the video. The young man was gunned down by the Indianapolis Police Department. I'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. And I want to get to Breonna Taylor. She's a woman who was shot and killed in her Louisville, Kentucky home by police, who executed what amounted to a box.
The difficult part for me was starting. I lost about 20 pounds, which blows my mind.
A botched psychology. Sorry about that. About a botched search warrant. I'll get to that as well. But here's the thing. Let me go with this. You know, if you don't get punished for what you do, you're going to do it over and over again. I mean, we were growing up, you know, as kids, and we did stuff that our parents didn't appreciate. You know, you got beat. You suffered for what you did. And so the problem with the police, and seeing the FBI, let me backpedal a little bit. The FBI 10 years ago did warn the local police departments that racist police officers were joining the police forces. And what better way to kill a black person than to be a police officer? Because you're going to have backup. You're going to have everything you need. So now the problem is that, see, these killings of black folk can be stopped. The killing of black folk can be stopped. It can. If we just got together and did what we needed to do as an ethnic group. You see, because there are people who never suffer these kind of things. You know, white folks, for example, don't get killed, unarmed white folks. You know, white folks watch my programs. Matter of fact, there's more white folks who listen and watch the Ron Kelly Show than anybody else, according to the statistics that they give me every week. And, you know, out of the 4,900 and something people who follow the Ron Kelly Show, a large majority of those folks are white. So they know I'm not beasting or breaking on white people. It's just unfortunate that, you know, like there are black people who are actually guilty of some of the stuff they do, and they look at all of us as criminals. There are people who look at all white people as racist, which I know for a fact that they are not. But anyway, you know, I have some friends that I talk to friends that I smoke cigars with, et cetera, et cetera. And we get together, Zoom and stuff like that. I'll never get used to this Zoom stuff and this text messaging stuff. I mean, I didn't mind text messaging, but when you got to rely on it, that's a problem. So, and you know, and the problem is that, you know, as far as black people, yeah, you know, shout out to Kate doing her yoga that says black people need to stop killing each other first. And that's a true statement. Black people need to stop killing each other first. But that's not the reason why black folks are set upon by people like the McMichael family and white police officers. The reason why is because they know they can get away with it. You see, again, I have some friends who I talk to a lot of people, you know, in my private life. And, you know, one of the problems is everybody has the answer. You know, everybody has the answer. And there needs to be unity. The ethnic groups that are successful in the United States of America are those who have unity, those who stick together, those who work together, those who don't argue about who's going to be running things or what the name of the organization should be or what the manifesto should say. Because black folks have a common, we have a common goal here in the United States of America. Black folks have a common goal. We all should want the same things. We want to be respected. We want to be given the same. We want to have, not be given the same opportunities, but have the same opportunities available to us. Whether we fail or succeed is up to us. But we should have the same opportunities as anybody else. Now, I don't, you know, now this petition writing and stuff like that, I mean, you know, I understand that people write petitions and they, you know, and they think that, you know, 80,000, 900,000 signatures, they think that's going to work. I mean, writing petitions is just, in this case, petitions are not going to work. They're not going to work. And see, we're not stuck here. You know, if we were able to get together, because I've said it many, many times on my radio program here at Ron Kelly Show. Do we have the Urban League? We have the NAACP. I've never watched the NAACP Image Awards. I think that's nonsense. They shouldn't be focusing on that. That's not what the NAACP was created for. It wasn't created to gather together a bunch of stars and give them awards. While the people who do the real work, the people who feed the homeless, the churches that feed the homeless, the people who are out there on the front lines, the grandmamas, who are taking care of kids, of their grandkids, because the mothers and the fathers are too irresponsible to do so. You know, those are the people that should be held up and heralded, not stars. You know, who gives a damn about a star? I've never watched the NAACP Awards, not one time, never, ever, ever have I watched it. Shout out to Iris Ramirez-Stewison. I know you. They've never done that. So we have these organizations. You got the Urban League, you got the NAACP, you got the National Action Network, you got the Fruit of Islam, and who I really, you know, Reverend Farrakhan, who I have an enormous amount of respect for, Reverend Farrakhan. He's a very intelligent man. But we have so many different people with so many different angles and so many different issues that, you know, the things that should be taking place in the black community in the United States of America are not happening because we have so many different people doing so many different things. So unity, because who else? Unity is the cure to what ails the black community. Unity. And you don't see a lot of unity. I mean, I have conversations with people, I won't say who right now, and you can't come to an agreement. Everybody thinks they have the answer. Everybody thinks they have the right answer. You know, and then we start pontificating and being waxing philosophically about what happened in the past and Willie Lynch and all this type of stuff. And, you know, that has nothing to do with what's going on today. Nothing. You know, I mean, Willie Lynch was that smart that he, you know, that we're still in bondage 200 years later behind what really Willie Lynch said? I mean, really? It's unbelievable. And every ethnic group that's successful in the United States of America are successful because they stick together. You know, in the Indian community, the dollar circulates many times before it leaves. In the Korean, the Chinese, the Jews, the Hispanics, all do practice commerce with each other, except for black folks. So you roll into the black community, what do you see? You see hair stores not run by us. Even the chicken places, and who knows chicken better than black people? And even the chicken places are ran by people who are not black in the black community. Now, you see a barbershop? Yes, you see plenty of those. Barbershops, hair salons, et cetera, et cetera. But anything that's substantial, anything that's generational, you're not going to see. So you go into the black community and you see three or four different Chinese, and not to knock the Chinese, because, hey, they're like, hey, if you're going to spend your money here, we're going to put our store here. And that's what they do. You have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Chinese restaurants within a two-block area. You know, some like across the street from each other. And neither one is hurting the other one. They're all doing good business. They're all doing good business. Because black folks, you know, because we still have that distrust for each other. We still are disjointed and don't have the unity that we need to bring ourselves together. So every now and then you hear people talk about having boycotts, boycott AT&T, boycott this cable vision, boycott. But you can't have a boycott unless everybody turns that thing off. You can't have a boycott unless millions of people come together and decide that they don't want to use AT&T no more, for example. Now, if millions of people, 10 million, 15 million, 20 million black folks stopped using AT&T, they would feel it. But see, because they hear us talking about boycotts. Because they know, because first of all, there's not enough of us. You know, I mean, we could make a dent if all of us did it. But you got 330 million people in the United States of America, and there's only maybe 40 million black people. Maybe. So, you know, so we're going to have to come together as a people. We're going to have to stop killing each other, stop hurting each other, stop slamming each other. You see it on Facebook all the time. If somebody doesn't say what they want you to say, now they're mad. Because anger is the first emotion that we exhibit when we get together with each other, when we talk to each other. Anger is the first thing. You know, I don't like you. See, because white folks and other ethnic groups, they have people that they don't like. You know, they have neighbors that they don't like. But when the cause is a common cause, when the goal is a common goal, they come together. Okay, I don't like you, but, you know, I'm going to work with you so we can get this problem solved. You know. So you see the Jews, for example, and I talked about the Jews last week. You see the Jews. Now, the Jews, when the Jews have their funerals, they're like, we're going to have our funeral. I'm not advocating for that or, you know, giving them credit for that. But they come out 3, 4, 5,000 of them at a time, and they don't get treated the same way we get treated. Gee, 80% of the summonses that were handed out in New York City, for example, were for black people in the minorities. They gave one ticket to a Jew who pushed a cop. One ticket. Somebody keeps calling me. One ticket for the Jews who pushed the cop. But black folks get beat, tased, stomped, beat on. I saw a video the other day of a LAPD cop beating the crap out of this brother. I mean, now you're trained to de-escalate the situation, not escalate it. But see, they do it because they know they can get away with it, because they know that we're not going to do anything. They know we're going to go on Facebook, and we're going to express our disdain at whatever happened on Facebook, and we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Like Ahmaud Arbery, he's dead, and for the most part, there'll be a few sparse marches here and there, and then we'll move on. Breonna Taylor, same story. Woman who was killed in her apartment. So we had the young lady in Texas who was killed in her apartment. You have the young man who was killed in his apartment. You know, it just keep, because now it used to be driving while black. Now it's jogging while black. It's laying in your bed while black. It's, you know, it's whatever while black. And the same things keep going on over and over and over again. And it's just unbelievable. But the reason why they're doing it, like I said, because they know where they can get away with it. Now, let me go back to the commerce part. You know, so how many times do you think the black dollar circulates in the black community? Hardly at all. The black dollar, in many cases, doesn't even make it to the black community. It makes it to the Chinese community when you go and buy some Chinese food. We don't eat together like we used to. We don't cook together, sit at the table like we used to. So everybody goes out and gets what they want. Somebody wants KFC. Somebody wants McDonald's. Somebody wants the Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Somebody wants Chinese. Somebody wants Pizza Hut. Somebody wants, you know, Domino's. And we're frequenting all these businesses, and none of that money, there's not a lot of black people who own these franchises anyway. So not a lot of that money gets to circulate in our community. So the community, so black dollar circulates maybe once. In other cases, in the Jewish community, it circulates 20 or 30 times before it leaves. So what other ethnic group has to beg its own people, you know, buy black and you know, buy black? Who says, who does that? Why do we have to encourage our people to do commerce with each other? That should be automatic. But we don't do it. We'll go somewhere else, you know, go out of the community, and we'll do our business somewhere else, which is just unbelievable. And everybody has the answer. Because I had conversations with people, and they start talking about, you know, everybody wants to be the smartest guy in the room, basically. You know, everybody wants to be the smartest person in the room. So we'll have a conversation about black community or what should be done, and you'll have 10. If there's 20 people, you have 20 different answers. 20 different answers about what should be done. So it's a very simple but complicated program that we need to get together in, and it's unity. Unity will save the black community if we just come together. But we won't do it for whatever reason. It just doesn't happen. I'll take a break and I'll come back and I'll talk about talk about what happened with Breonna Taylor and some other assorted things that you should know. We'll take a break and we'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Righty then, fellow inmates, fellow shut-ins, fellow whatever you want to call it. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Man, I'm so sick. They need to find a cure for this crap, because I have had it with just staying in the house. And I mean, even though I go to work every day, I'm grateful for that. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm still working. I go to work every day, and not much has changed in my life as far as my income. So I want to thank the Lord. Thank the loud, like they say, for that. But I haven't been in the company of a woman in 2 months. You know, this is crazy. There's all kinds of stuff going on here. You know, I got a lot of different ways to get around. I can't go nowhere. This is ridiculous. You know, the walls are closing in. And, you know, and I'm hearing that the domestic violence has gone up. Because now you got to stay home with that person you didn't like in the first place. That you were escaping to work to get out of the house, and now you're stuck with her and the kids and all, and it's getting really, really crazy. You know, people staying in the house, it's really starting to affect some people. This has been going on for 2 months. You know, then Murphy had the nerve, Governor Murphy here in New Jersey, for everybody who's around the country, you know, extended another week. I mean, at least let me be able to go somewhere. At least let me be able to... Oh man, you know, this is crazy. They need to get a handle on this stuff. Trump, you effed up. We need a vaccine. We need a cure. So everybody who out there who prays, y'all church people, I mean people who pray, who believe in God, just stop praying for that miracle cure, because it's not going to go away like Trump said. You know, we need a cure for this virus, because this is getting crazy. You know, sometimes I go outside just to be going outside. Now, I do go to work every day, so, you know, I am able to go out. So it's not as bad as if I wasn't working, because I do work, and I work on weekends too, you know, 9-10 hours on weekends. So I do get to go outside and see people with my mask and all the other stuff that I have on. But this coronavirus thing is getting ridiculous, you know. If the world is not going back to the way it was, I mean, what's the point? I'm not saying everybody should kill themselves, but, you know, football with no fans, basketball, no fans. I mean, sporting events with no fans, these virtual weddings and drive-by. This is not drive-by shooting anymore. It's a drive-by graduation, drive-by, you know, you got to look at your grandmama through the window, you know, and people who are in a hospital have to die alone because your family members are not allowed to come into the hospital. So you have to lay there in that bed if you're heading south, and if you got to lay there in that bed and die alone. And then you can't even have a funeral. Yeah, there's a lot of people not wearing masks. Shout out to Kay doing her yoga. There's a lot of people not wearing. Yeah, whites, blacks. You know, when I'm not around anybody, I don't wear a mask either. Like, if I walk out the door right now, I'll have the mask with me, but I won't put it on until I get close to somebody else. Because I don't know about this. This is getting crazy. I don't have a personalized mask. I'm a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not getting no Dallas Cowboys mask because I don't accept this. I don't accept this coronavirus. Yes, it exists. Yes. Do I take precautions? Yes. But I'm not personalizing nothing because I don't accept that I'm going to have to wear a mask, especially I'm laying on the beach with a mask. Now, you got 100-degree sun beaming down on you, you got on a mask. I mean, that might kill you. So, you know, I don't accept this. This is not natural. The whole human experience is about being around other people. I mean, now, the introverts and the people who stay in the house all the time, they're probably loving this. But, you know, myself as an extrovert, you know, somebody who likes being around other people, this is ridiculous. So I don't accept this coronavirus nonsense. You know, I don't accept that I'm going to have to wear a mask for the next year or so. I don't accept it. Do I do it? Yes, but I don't accept it. I don't accept any of this stuff. No. You can't have a Super Bowl. You can't have a Super Bowl with empty stands. Shout out to Sandra Joy Jones, who says, yes, me only in store. Why are people wearing it? Drive. Yeah, I look to my left or whatever, and people have their mask on and everything else, their hazmat suit on in the car. You know, if you're not careful, especially with the N95 mask, if you're not careful, see, because when you're breathing in that mask, you're breathing in carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, whatever, from your own body. So you're exhaling with the mask on, and then you're breathing that same air back into your body. You know, because once you breathe in the air, the body uses what it needs from the air, and the when you breathe out, it's like exhaust. So you're breathing in your own exhaust. Just unbelievable. I can't take it. I can't deal with this mask stuff. Anyway, 12 minutes before you're out. And I don't accept this stuff. They need to find a cure for this and find it soon. Find it now. You know, we have the best doctors in the world, according to President Idiot. So they need to get it together. So Breonna Taylor was shot in a Louisville home by police executing a bot search warrant. They forced their way in, didn't announce themselves, and the boyfriend thought they were burglars. The boyfriend shot one of the police. Breonna Taylor was hit 8 times. She died. Now, these officers, this is the Louisville Metro Police Department, and the officers say, or the police department says, they knocked on the door and announced themselves as police officers. Now, how do you know? How do you know? So, now these cops, these Keystone cops, you call them, were looking for somebody who was already in custody. The person was already in jail and lived 10 miles away from where Breonna Taylor lived. Now, Breonna Taylor was an EMT. She aspired to be a nurse. And she was killed. Now, the boyfriend shot one of the police officers, and now the boyfriend is being charged with attempted murder of a police officer. You see, this, you know, as I said earlier, I don't want to go back to it, but see, these are the things that happen when you don't have unity in your community. These are the things that happen when your people are not down with each other. People from all over America, especially the people who are not working, should have drove down there or people who live in that area, Texas, there's a few areas down there where it's black folks, down in Kentucky, people from Georgia, people from Mississippi, black folks, from all over that area, St. Louis, should have been down there. Thousands and thousands and thousands of black folks should have been there protesting. See, that's the only way it's going to work. That's the only way we're going to get only way we're going to be able to address this. Black folks have to come en masse. I mean, bigger than like the March on Washington with a great, the late Dr. Martin Luther King famously gave his speech. We should have been there. So the police officers say they knocked on the door and announced their presence of who they were with a search warrant. Now, after forcing their way in, they were immediately met by gunfire. Well, what do you think? Maybe they didn't hear you. The people, they were in bed. Now, the family of Breonna Taylor has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the Louisville Metro Police Department. And this girl, she was shot 8 times by the police. Now, Kenneth Walker was her boyfriend who shot one of the cops, who probably were not in uniform. Kenneth Taylor Walker, 27 years old, was arrested and charged with assault and attempted murder on a police officer. Another senseless killing. Atiana Jefferson, in the house playing video games with her son in Texas, killed by the San Antonio police. Botham Jean, in his home after work, relaxing, watching TV. And even he was smoking a joint. So what? That's when he was in his house, killed by a knife. Killed. So these are three people who weren't criminals, were killed in their homes. Now, I can get, I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If a black person is wrong and you get killed by the police, well, hey, you know, I don't brush it off, but that's, you know, you were wrong. Now, there was another shooting where a young man had a really big knife, and he charged the police officer with a knife. Now, I don't think that bullets should be the last resort. I mean, a bullet should be the last resort, I should say. Because if a person has a knife, you could tase them. If they don't answer to the tase, then okay, now you got to use a different measure. But this girl was shot, 26 years old, no record, was an EMT, out there on the front lines helping coronavirus victims. And she was killed in her house. And you see, it just gets worse and worse, and we do nothing. And I'm not suggesting that we go out and kill a bunch of cops or go out and, you know, and start a revolution or anything like that. There should be a revolution, but not a violent revolution. So this young girl was killed. And then you have Ben Crump, who seems like he only takes on these high-profile cases. Ben Crump. Trayvon Martin, Tatiana Jefferson, I should say, killed in her house. So these things are going to keep happening. And this woman, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, like me, has a license to carry a gun. And kept the gun in his house, which I do as well. And I have a license to carry a weapon. Both Taylor and Walker had no criminal history or drug convictions. Neither one of them ever been in trouble before. Breonna Taylor had no criminal history, and her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, had no criminal history at all either. He wouldn't have been able to legally carry and own a weapon if he did have any issues. So we get the packaged responses, let the investigation play out. How many times the investigation played out and nothing happened? So Sandra Jones says, what's the solution, Ron? Well, you know what the solution is? The solution, Sandra Jones, is very simple. Unity. Unity in the black community. We need to dust ourselves off and clean our own house up. Because you go into black communities like a war zone for the most part. You know. Our people who are upwardly mobile leave the black community. Why? I remember the lady in Newark on 10th Street. I don't have her name in front of me. Going to park her car. She was killed by another black person for her car. You see, these are the you got to clean up your own house. I'm not, you know, saying that what happened was right, that Breonna Taylor was killed because black folks don't have it together, but black folks don't have it together. We need to clean up our act. And see, nobody wants to say this. You see, everybody wants to, you know, blame it on white man, blame it on slavery, blame it on, you know, like I said, the pontificating and people want to come up with this exotic reason as to why black people are being maligned like this. It's unity. Because every ethnic group who's unified, nobody messes with. They don't mess with the Jews. They don't mess with the Koreans. They don't mess with the Asians, the Chinese. Nobody messes with them. Why? Because they, number one, they have economic power and they use it, and they're unified, first of all, because you get nothing without unity. They're unified, and they have economic power. You know, what economic power do we have? None. And we talk about, you can have, if each person has a dollar, if you got a million people to have a dollar, you got a million people with a dollar. You don't have $1 million, you have a million people with a dollar, or 10 million people, or 20 million people. But if you had those 20 million people put those dollars together, now you got $20 million. You know, CNBC, CNBC, which I watch frequently, their tagline is "Get yours." That's what we saying. I got mine. Get yours. So the answer to your question, Sandra Joy Jones, is that unity must come first. Unity must come first. Black folks need to come together and address this as a unit, as a people, not have Black Lives Matter over here and National Action Network over there, the Urban League is over here, the NAACP is holding Image Awards, which, like I said, I've never watched. Because I don't think that the stars, Steve Harvey and all these people should be getting Image Awards. For what? For what? So the answer is unity. Very simple. Not the super complicated nonsense that people try to say that what the issue is with the Black community. Because we always have to have some kind of convoluted, out of this world, solution to the problem. It's a very simple solution. Unity. Unity. Million Man March, there wasn't a million men there. There wasn't a million men there. That's, you know, and we did it, and what happened after that? Nothing. We shouldn't have one march every year. It's not going to cut it. There should be a million people. Every time a Black person is killed by the police, there should be an overwhelming amount of Black folks there. So it's about a minute left to the program. I want to thank everybody who watched, listened, all my folks who listened to the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk Radio and in California and on the East Coast in Florida and everywhere in between. Thanks so much for listening to the Ron Kelly Show. Linda Labrazo says the Black community will never unite. Everybody's looking out for themselves. Well, I don't want to say never. It does seem, you know, it does seem, you know, when you look at the Black community, it looks hopeless. It does. But the only way that we're going to stop the powers that do, we have to clean up our own act. We have to get our own act together. You got to look in the mirror. Michael Jackson said, a man in the mirror. You got to look in the mirror. Just because you got it together, for the one person who has it together, there's 150 of us who don't have it together. Shout out to Linda Brazo, says, Ron, just keep what you're doing. We need your voice. Thank you so much for that, Linda. I appreciate you. And I appreciate everybody who listens to, watches, whatever, the Ron Kelly Show. So 30 seconds left. So I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for joining me this evening. Do stay safe. Take care of yourself. Wear that mask when you have to. Make sure those hands are, keep your hand sanitizer in your pocket like I do at all times. Car keys, cell phone, hand sanitizer, mask. But I don't accept this. One day we'll get it together. Anyway, everybody, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that we may not have it all together, but together, unity, we can definitely have it all. Thanks so much. I think I'm done.